I feel that it's a bit moral. And I don't like this moral vision about the world. Because if you have moral vision, you are not far from religion, you are not far from somebody who is telling you what to do and what not to do. And for me, this is not free. So you have to do that by yourself. For me, there is no devil somewhere. Globalization is not a devil. Localization is not a devil. Global warming is not a devil. This is conditions that we have to deal with.
Bonjour and welcome to the 70th episode of the podcast Architecture City Planning by the German Federal Chamber of Architects. My name is Kerstin Kunekat. I am an architectural journalist and presenter, and this is the fifth episode this year. And because nothing is more important than always thinking outside the national box, we have, after our international guests, Reinier de Graaf from Rotterdam and Dorte Mandrup from Copenhagen, the French icon Odile Deck from Paris as our guest today. You can listen to all the episodes on the website www.bak.de/baukultur/podcast or, of course, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Apple Music and so on. You can also subscribe to the podcasts there. The main theme of this season, number 3, is responsibility. Responsibility for the city, for the people, for the profession. Everyone immediately thinks of climate protection, but there are other important parameters for our profession and the whole society. The promotion of strong characters who want to invent a new future, for example. Odile Deck, a free spirit, never worked for anyone. She was independent from the first moment and went her own way. Today she's famous and a role model. You still have to look for her office when you visit her in the Rue des Arquebusiers 11 in the district Marais, because there is no nameplate on the building. The winding office, which extends over 3 floors up to the roof, is crisscrossed by large old wooden beams. Stacked plexiglass boxes filled with architectural models form small corridors between which one can scurry through the office. The project list is long. I will mention only 3 here. Banque Populaire de l'Ouest, BPO, in Rennes, France. This is the project through which she became internationally known in the 1990s. The extension renovation of the Macro Museum of Contemporary Art of Rome, Italy. The restaurant of the Opera Garnier in Paris, France. Please visit her website, odiledeck.com, to find more projects and information. Odile Deck is an amusing person. The interview starts right off funny. Here we go.
Today I would like to talk to you about the role of architects nowadays.
I don't know.
Maybe you don't know, but you know a lot.
Yeah, I know.
You think you don't know. And about how architects can and should position themselves to bring their skills to the public or to urban planning today. I've seen interviews and I think you have a very strong opinion and you are very close to young architects as well.
It's because I'm teaching since 30 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
so,
why.
Yeah, you're the right person to ask. So you are an expressive personality and your buildings are expressive buildings, respectively. You design in every scale, from the big building till the knives also.
Yeah. I like that. I like to experiment everything.
Yeah, so you're a real designer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like... Yes, a designer, yes.
Yeah, so designer for everything.
Yeah, I can design everything.
In every scale.
Everything that I never design, I like to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's experimenting, it's researching, it's trying, and at the end you find solution that is not a solution from a specialist. It's a solution from somebody who has searched and who has found. And this is very different than the specialist.
So you wouldn't consider yourself as a specialist?
No, not at all. I'm not a specialist at all. I'm not specialized in anything. I'm just an architect or a designer, as you said, for everything.
But it's a special profession.
I don't think that we are specialists. We are much more general than specialists.
Yeah, okay, general.
Because we could be... Because doing an hospital or the day after working on an housing and after that to work on a school or something, this is not being a specialist. It's being able to find solution. We are really problem solvers. This is something which is very different than being a specialist. And it's a particular way of thinking, a particular way of dealing and managing our project, what we do. But we are, and I try to not speak about what this is a profession, Because every architect or every designer is doing differently.
It's like, don't talk about it, do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But as you know, we really love to talk about it.
I learned that yesterday. I was thinking, oh my God, we have to discuss.
I mean, there are a lot of things to discuss. Fortunately, we don't want to discuss about architecture today, but about the background. Let me see. We just jumped in. Let me ask you, not only as architect, but also as a professor. And we start with the biggest question. What qualities do you need to stay true to yourself as a designer and architect?
If I want to do that funny, I will say, if you look at the dog and you look when you send him a bone, he take it and he never take it off. We do the same. We try to, with every subject that is given to us, we take it and we don't let it go as soon as it's solved, it has reached the quality and the level that we wanted. And whatever happens to us, whatever the intersection, the intervention, the people who are trying to disturb us, we have to continue. We have to follow the way we want to do, the want to go, and at the same time, but not in a rigid way. At the same time, to be able to do, not compromising, but adaptation, that we can just evolve on the way. I always compare doing a project as going sailing on the sea, mm-hmm. going to the horizon. You know, when you have the horizon line, I'm from Brittany, this is why I'm always talking about horizon. Mm-hmm. And the horizon line, when you go to sail, I don't know if you sail.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you find a point where you want to go, and you try to reach it, but this is not the right line. This is something that is sometimes sinuous, sometimes you have to adapt to the current, to the wind, to the sun, whatever. But you never reach the point that you wanted to go, where you wanted to go, because it's still in front of you. So this is an adventure, and this adventure needs to be, you have to be determined to go there, and to be determined to adapt yourself, and at the same time to never lose your focus, where you want to go. So this is a very particular quality that you need to have. And most of that, above that, you have to be curious about everything. Curious about the world, about the society, about the people, about the food, about the way people are living, the way of everything. It's the biggest quality is to be curious and open mind.
Yeah. If you have your spot at your horizon, it's also when you do a project, or you mean for the whole career?
No, for doing a project, but also for the own career, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's impossible to know where I'm going.
Do you think it's not good for architects to think about where they are going?
No, because when you do that, they froze themselves.
Yeah.
Because if you know where you want to go, first you lose many opportunities. You don't take the opportunities of the chance of something else. If that happens on your way. And so this is being rigid for me.
Hmm.
I did not know that at the end I will be a role model, as you said, or that I will be known as I am now. I did not know when I started. I was just determined.
Yeah.
I knew that as a young woman at this time, I need to be determined to do what I wanted to do. I did not know which level I will reach. And how I will go there, and how long it will be. The only thing that I knew that when I was looking at artists, when I was very young, at the very beginning, the artists, the architects, etc., I did not know not so many women. All the women known at this time were only old ladies. So I was thinking, oh, I have to think that I will be an old lady I will be known as an architect. So I knew that the way will be long.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
So that's good if you know it.
So I'm not. I was not impatient.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking that I will go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your way is really interesting. I've seen your lecture from Architects Not Architecture.
The one in Hamburg,
2020.
Ah,
in November. I don't know where it was.
Doesn't matter.
But you talk about how you studied. I mean, you said you didn't study at all. It was the late 70s.
Because it was the beginning of the 70s. Yes, Because first when I passed my baccalaureate, because this is an exam in France at the end of the lycée, I didn't think about architecture. I was thinking that as a young woman, I can do interior design because I was very interested by art. But to do that, I had to go to Paris, and my parents didn't want. I go to Paris because after 60s, and this was some years after 68, they said, no, don't go there. So I had to go somewhere in Brittany, so I started to study history of art. And when I was studying history of art, I met some young architects, or young students in architecture, and I went to the school in Rennes, in the place where I was studying, and I discovered the architecture, and I said, okay, this is what I can do. And so I passed an exam to enter the school. At this time, there were an exam. And I went back to visit my parents once and said, I will study now architecture. And my father immediately said, this is not a profession for women. I said, okay, I will do it.
Now you say it, I will do it.
Yeah, because you can't... A parent said, tell you this is not a profession for women?
Yeah.
I thought immediately it would be difficult. Okay, yeah. But...
Yeah, parents are always worried that you won't do fine or whatever. Maybe it's that.
Especially for women at this time. And for me, who was very particular.
Yeah. And how the story continues is interesting as well. Then after you studied or not studied,
I studied in a school in Rennes first for 2 years, and it was not studying real architecture in a way, because we did photos, a video, corporal expression, something like that. And not really doing project. And after 2 years, I said, okay, maybe I have to go to Paris now because I could be independent at this time. I decided to be independent, and I went to Paris. And I had chose. There were 7 schools at this time in Paris. Now we have only 5, but it was 7. And I chose the one who has a more open mind, the more open, because I didn't study anything, so I had to find a place where I can survive in a way. And it was a place where the teacher did the revolution in 68. So they were not coming. They were not teaching at all. It was really, and we were on strike all the time. So I always say that on my 6 years, because at this time it was 6 years of studies, maybe I studied 2 years. And I didn't learn anything at school.
But then you opened an office.
Immediately, yes. because after, you know, in the meantime, and when I started my 3rd year, I was thinking that I don't know what is doing architecture. So thanks to some friends of my relation or something like that, or a doctor, I started to do interior design for their flats and designing furniture for them. And I understood what is doing a construction site, going there and visiting and working with them. I said, okay, now I know. And it was not at all the architecture, it was just interior design. And at the same time, when I finished my studies in 1978, it was some years after the oil crisis in the middle of the 70s. Mm. So all the architects were not many architects were not working. There were not so much work, and the young architects didn't find places to work. So I had to open my office. And we were all the same, you know. We were, my generation at this time, we started to do architecture by ourselves because we didn't find a place to work.
Who did you work for?
I never worked for an architect in an office. For
no, I mean your landlords. Who were the landlords?
Oh, I started. So my first project was for a couple of friends of my parents. It was complicated. It was just to do the extension of the house. First of all, I have to say that in the design and in the construction writing, I forgot to design the staircase, going from the ground floor to the first floor. It's usual, I heard that now. So I designed it in the middle of the construction process. I was ashamed a little bit. And at the end, they decided not to complete my fee and not to pay me, and I sued them. Immediately.
Very good.
I had a friend who was a lawyer in that city, and I came to him and he said, you sue them. They were friends of my parents. I said, okay, I sue them. So I sue them. So, and I won. I got my fees. And my second project was similar, and at the end they said they did the same, so I steal them again. So after that I said, okay, I have to find another way to work because it's complicated. And I started to do, because I studied after my architecture, I studied urban planning and urban development in the Institut des Sciences Politiques in Paris. And a friend of mine was in charge of choosing some urban planners for little cities in the countryside, and he proposed my name, and I did some studies for some cities around my native city and in some other places. And I started to build my office like that, by doing studies, urban planning studies, in the countryside, for little villages, little cities like that.
How many employees did you have in that time?
Nobody.
Nobody, yeah, okay.
I was alone. I was alone, and I remember that maybe when I started to do a project after two... No, for the first project, I had an intern, and she was a Swiss intern. I don't know why she went to me, but she went to me. And but she was totally in depress because she discovered that Paris was not as glamorous as in the magazine.
No way.
And, yeah. And she discovered that Paris was gray, that the people were wearing gray and beige. And, this, and she said, oh my God, this is that Paris. And she left. It's true. This story is, very strange, the stories.
Do you think nowadays it's more difficult to be independent as an architect in this special time?
It's more expensive when you want to start, because you have to buy some materials that are quite expensive, computers or whatever. So you have to. This is more expensive than we had just tracing papers and a pen, you know, to start a project. But being independent, it's always possible. I find a bit curious, and I said that to a group of people in French young architect some years ago, that they wanted to be a group, a big group, to be able to face the administration, to be able to face as a group in front of people that are the client or public client or whatever. And I said, this is strange. That means that you are not strong enough, that you don't find yourself strong enough to be in front of them. And they said, yes, but it's very difficult. I said, yes, it's normal that it's difficult. I always say that it's not funny. Life is not funny if it's not difficult. But and they don't believe that. They were not believing me. And this is why I think that you have to be able to be independent. But if you want to work in group, I very often saw that at one point the group is exploding. And because of the question of the money, because of the question of the relation, because of the problem. When you start young, before 30, you don't know precisely what you want to achieve, where you are, etc. And as soon as you reach 30, 32, etc., you start to have a family, you want to buy something, you want to do something, and that is exploding. So this is complicated.
Yeah, so it would be better if architects start young, no? If
they had the chance. Absolutely. But to have the chance, you have to take it. You have to find the chance. You have to have your eyes open and your ear open, because you have to, and to follow what you will see, what you hear, and never think that you will succeed 2 days or 2 years after, or you will win a competition in the year after. It will be a long process. I remember that when I was complaining when I was young, after 3, 4, 5 years of starting, that I started, I met an architect told me, which is really important, that, you know, there are two possibilities. Either you succeed after 5 years, either you succeed after 10 years. If you want to make money and to do business, you will succeed after 5 years, because you will just always compromise and do what the clients are asking you. If you want to be a creator and to find your own way and to succeed to do it, it will take 10 years. So in the meantime, you have to wait. You have to work and you have to not complain anymore. And I did it. Mm-hmm. So this is a long process. This is not immediately.
Maybe it's hard to be patient.
Because the generation is not the same. You know, I always say that for these 10 years, because I have been diplomed in 78, and I won the competition for the Banque Populaire de l'Ouest in 88, that means exactly 10 years, I was eating only sandwiches, you know. And I was not eating at what I wanted every day because it was complicated.
Yeah. I mean, I know some young architects who have their own office, women also. I mean, I say it like that because it's really a small group still. And they say, for example, competitions, they cannot really accompany them because it's too expensive. It's very expensive in Germany. I don't know how it is here in France.
Everywhere it's very expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this has to be changed.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, I have to tell you something because it's a kind of my story also. When I started, the competition were not existing because it was because the competition in France started in mid-80s and of the 80s. And I started at the beginning of the 80s. But I brought the system of the competition from Germany in France because I did a trip for the ministry, I don't remember which ministry at the time, in France, because I won a kind of a study and in Germany to visit some cities. And I went in Bonn, Düsseldorf, Köln, Aachen, all these
cities. Where I come from.
And I visited the people, the region administrators, the mayors, the ministry, because I was accompanied by the French embassy at this time. We were a group of three young architects. And we were asking and understanding how the public buildings were built and were decided to be given to. Because in France at this time, there were only listed architects on every ministry. So they wanted to open thanks to the new young generation that was arriving. And we brought back the system of competition from Germany in France. Mm-hmm. And I wrote article about that. I did lecture about that to the ministry, etc. Because I discovered the competition system in Germany.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It was funny. And at this administration, particular administration, was in charge of that, developed that, and asked me many times advices for that. So this was very funny that I brought the competition system in France. But at the same time, and it comes from Germany. And but at this time, it was quite strict and quite rigid in Germany already. But the system which was interesting is that architects from inside the institution were able to do competition, to enter competition, and if they won, they could get out and open their own office. And in France, it's not possible because you have to be functionary when you are in an public institution. So it was more complicated for that. So it was just open for a new generation of architects. And it's why, at the middle of the 80s in France, they started the competition. And what was, for my generation, absolutely fantastic, that they opened some competition specially for a young architect.
Yeah.
It was absolutely great. And we were paid for doing that. The ministry, they decided that we have to be paid to do the work. And this is what is not done in some big countries, especially in Germany, where only the first five could have something. But at the same time, you have to know that the fees in France, the level of the average of fees in France are lower than in Germany. So we were also always thinking that in Germany they win enough money to be able to do competition without money, and in France it's impossible. But I think this is not the same now. But this question of competition was very particular, yeah.
A second hint for young offices is the insurance money.
Because you're responsible.
Yeah, and I don't know how this was 20, 30 years ago.
It was the same as today in France.
Okay.
It was already existing.
Yeah.
So you have to be you have to have the insurance. It's very costly, and it's,
So this is also a problem maybe for a young architect.
But you have to negotiate in your contract, which is not so easy sometimes, the fees plus the cost of the insurance. This is what I tried at the beginning. Not always, but I succeeded sometimes.
And you said you went with your employees to London a lot.
No, only once. When we won the Banque Populaire, we thought that this is a very particular building, and we knew a lot about how the British were building the building in the 80s, because we were going there many times for music, for visiting the project under construction, etc., in London. So we said, okay, for starting the development of the project, we have to show them what it is. So we spent a weekend or 3 days, I don't remember, going there, visiting all the buildings, showing them all the details and make them understanding what is steel construction, because in France it was not existing. In France we were building at this time only with concrete.
So you brought competition and steel construction.
In a way, yes. This is why at the beginning some architects were telling me, she is British. I'm not British at all. I'm from Brittany, this is not the same.
Exactly. In an interview, I've heard you saying you wanted to push modernity to move faster. The world was changing, but it was going too slowly for you. That's what you said.
I said that in the 90s especially, when in France, and especially in France maybe, we were totally blocked by the modern movement, because in inherited it from Le Corbusier. Some architects were very known doing some modernist architecture, and they were teachers, and they were teaching only that in the schools. So, and I wanted to push that and to open that. And it was not so easy. This is why I said that many times, and I remember that one of them told me once in a lecture when he was just passing after me, or I was passing after him, Odile, you don't say that. I say, I will do it. Because this is something that has, we have to evolve, we have to move away. Finally, thanks, we evolved. And now it's not anymore so much the time like that, but it's still existing in France, the modern movement.
What do you expect from young architects? The times have changed. What could be pushed away nowadays?
To push me out? No, it's the young people. They have a chance, an enormous chance, that we are, and they are, in the 21st century. And they have to think that, fuck the 20th. This is the history now. And they have to invent the 21st. I always say that to my students. Mostly to the ones that were born in 2000, 2001, and 2002. Now we have students from 2002 and 2003. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So no, I cannot.
For them, what was the 20th century doesn't exist. It was the same that for us, the 19th, in a way. A bit different, but okay. And this 21st century, if you come back to the beginning of the 20th century, in 1920, it was just after the First World War. It was just a period where people were believing that they can invent, they could be creative. The cars were starting to be very fast. The train were starting, the plane were starting a bit, etc. So a century was started to be built, or to be discovered and to be invented. And we are exactly 100 years later, and they have to look at what is invented today and where are we going. How the society is evolving, and it's not a question of looking too much to the disaster of the planet, because this is not because otherwise you don't look further, but you have to look what is invented today, where we are going, where are the new system of organization, where are everything, and to find their way thanks to that. So I always say to my students, you will never be an architect as I am. You have to invent yourself as being another architect, or another whatever you call it, because I'm not sure that we will have an architect in the future, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. But some people say the world is built. Everything is built.
Yes, I read that in your paper yesterday. Yes and no. Because if you think about Africa, it's not built. There are many places to do something where architects or people educated in architecture can do something. Not necessarily to build, but to understand how to make organization the life, and to organize the life, how to organize the cities, how to. So they have many opportunities in the world, and if you think about climate change, where there are places where the climate is warmer, you have to make evolving the construction, you have to make evolving the inhabitat, you have to make evolving the organizing of the city again, and even when it's colder, it's the same. So there are many, many opportunities.
It's not like revolution, like it was
before. No, but revolution is the French way of thinking. You change, you fight, and at the end you repeat the same. This is not, because at the end it comes back to the same. Yes, always. The French Revolution is particular for that.
So it's about fighting, not about changing.
It's about thinking that you can change. You must change, and you will make the world changing. So you bring something to the world. This is not just changing, but bringing something to the world that it was not thinking about before, by using everything at your disposal today. And what is at your disposal today? But artificial intelligence, the tools, the new tools, going I don't know if Elon Musk going to the moon is important, but maybe, I don't know. I don't know. This is to be, as I said before, at the beginning, curious. Curious about what happens on the world, on the planet.
Yeah, and to be interested in many fields.
Absolutely.
Not only the solitary
no, because architecture is a discipline which is incorporating everything. Because when you do a project, you have to have some notion in economy, in sociology, in geography, in physics, in art, in literature, in sociology, whatever. So,
when I started, it wasn't not that fast. I mean, in that time. No, I start again. That sounds not good.
When did you study?
I finished 2008. My diploma.
Recently.
Yeah, but after that, it was changing, like the bachelor and master system.
Ah, yes, because of 2008.
Yes. Yes, and I think it really, it's not better than before, it's worse. I mean, they have to study so fast. I think they really have not the time to watch left and right what's going on in the world. That's my impression. And I think this is not good.
Yeah, I understand why you say that. Because in 2008, I was already the director of the school at École Spéciale. And we had to look at how to do this change. You know, in schools of architecture, as in many schools in the university, you have a grid of programs. The program is built as a grid, in a way. And when the Bologna system came with these 3 years and 2 years and the cycles and the credits, etc., instead of reconfiguring, re-changing, rethinking everything, we all were applying the grid on the credit on the grid. So the system on the grid. That means that nothing's changed so much. And I remember that at this time, especially in 2009, we had a big in Tokyo, a meeting of all the directors from all over the world. And I always say that the grid is just a grid. You can play with that. You have to find a way to play with the grid. And because everybody was thinking, okay, the administration is asking us to fill the grid and we have to do that, etc. I said, yes and no. You are free if you want to do it. But it was not so easy, because when I was directing this school in Paris, it was not so easy. And when I left the school to build my own school, I reread the text of European system and the European system, and I was looking at the fact that now this is what is asking is to ask the student to get credit during their studies. So they don't ask the student to get 1 year, 2 years, 1 semester, 2 semesters, they have to get credits. And at the end of the first cycle, they have to have 150 credit, and at the end of the second cycle, 120. Whatever the length, whatever the time, whatever how they do it. So this is what we tried in that school, in the school that I built. We give them credits. We don't speak about semester, years. It's very complicated because they have that in mind and their parents have that in mind, years and semesters. But we tell them, okay, you have to add, we add credits. So we made them every 3 months or every 2 months. And we said, okay, now we have reached that. Take care, because don't go so fast. And at the end of the first cycle, you will not have the 150 credits. So you will have to do more study to go at the end. But you never double, you never, this is not the same way. You don't repeat yourself. You just add credits.
Yeah.
And this is much more free for them, much more open mind for them.
And this is, it's a private school, no?
Yeah, it's totally private. Not funding, not, nothing.
Yeah.
Just me and that's it.
But it's recognized from the state.
I mean, it's recognized from the RIBA in London. Not by French system. Not yet. We tried. But we are in like the stone in their shoes, you know? Because they don't understand what we are doing. And they don't want to know, in a way.
It's really strange, because you are so famous, and they're famous architects.
I know. But this is the problem, that we... It's why when the RIBA... I went once in London to visit the RIBA for a jury. And I told them, and they heard that I was doing my school, and they said, we are interested in your school. I said, wow. And they said, yes, because we think that we have to change our vision, we have to help the schools in Great Britain to change, etc. So why not applying for the RIBA? And I said, why not? And we did it and we succeeded. We have recognized, we have the recognition by the RIBA. And we can deliver the part one and part two of the RIBA. But when they went to us to visit the school and to meet the students, the teachers, that way it was very a discussion between every part of the school. At the end, when they gave us the recognition for 5 years, they said, okay, you have fulfilled everything, you have fulfilled the grid is on the paper, etc. Now do it as you want. And in 5 years, we come back. So this is really you, this is that, what I said before. This is the credit that you do, you manipulate them as you want on the way. Mm. At the end, you have to show that the students have learned everything that they have to learn. And
but
that's it.
In Paris or in France, they don't have the permission to build then as architects? Or
yes, this is the problem since 2008 also. And this is why my school doesn't have this diploma. Mm. And we have the RIBA 1, RIBA 2. We are trying now to get a third diploma to be able for them to be recognized in the Commonwealth, because this is Commonwealth now, because after Brexit, it's not recognized in Europe. And we try to deal now with the school in France to make some of the students, the French students in our school, because they are not all French, who wants to build in France, to be able to have a diploma. But we have to discuss with the school and the ministry. We have to discuss with two ministries. One, the culture, and the superior studies. And they send us back and forth all the time. We sent them a dossier, similar to the one that we sent to the British people. And the answer was, okay, this is right, this is good, this is the way. But nothing happens. And when I went back to the... they sent us back and forth. So we have to find another way. I wrote to the minister, the woman in charge of the Ministry of Culture, never received answer. I met the person in charge of architecture in the ministry. They were always complicating the system and telling us. So finally we said, okay, we're still free, we can stay free, and we still have other IBA, and we continue with the IBA. So we will have more students from the Commonwealth and it will be more international.
Yeah.
Our students are 75% foreigners, you know, from all over the world. And they come because they want first to study in France, to study in Paris, and in a school with teaching in English, and having the RIBA for them is perfect. Mm. So this is a nice school, and we don't have so much French. It's a pity, but it's like that. Since many years I'm giving lecture in schools of architecture, and everywhere people is asking me to speak about my school and about my vision about what is the school of architecture today. And I know that they want to change, they want to make it evolving and changing, but the system is always blocked because it's very heavy. The administration is always heavy. The whatever above their head is complicated. And this is why I don't want to build a huge school of architecture. This is a little one. For this year, we have 40 students in total. Next year, we will be 50 maybe. So maybe until 70, 80, and after that, we stop to grow. Because I want to know all of my students. Mm. And nobody is funding us. Nobody. Because I'm just the one who is in charge of that. And I'm not funding the school. This is the tuition of the students that I'm paying for the school.
Yeah, so there must be idealists.
In a way, yes. In a way, yes. And this is why when I talked to some other teachers in the different schools in different countries, they said, we have this idea of building a new school and creating a new school. I said, okay, are you ready for 5 years to not be paid to do that? And at this time, they said, no. I said, but this is the only way to do it. I'm somebody crazy, you know, but that doesn't matter. It works.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I wish there were more people like you that are thinking free, yeah, and behaving like free persons.
It's complicated to be free because it's you have to pay for that. There is a big it's heavy to pay for that because you are alone, because you are rejected by the system, because you are... okay, some people are telling you, oh, yes, it's fantastic, it's great, etc., but it's complicated, you know. But at the same time, I will never change that.
Yeah. No, it's not the easy way. Of course, it's easier to be like everybody else, and then you give applause to everybody who dares to be different. Mm. Yeah. But I think, for example, in Germany, the young architect should have more chances. I think they are not free to have their own office, or they think...
It's the same. They don't think that they can open it. But my students from this school are doing, because they don't have the diploma in France, so they have opened a kind of interior design offices, because they don't need to be registered as architects for that. And they do some restaurant, cafe, flats, etc. So this is a way to train, in a way. And there are some who are just designers, product designers. Some have opened a research lab in London for making growing mushroom to build something. This is very bizarre, but this is that. So this is, they are open mind, and they build their own life as they want. I don't understand why in school of architecture all over the world, not only in Germany and in France, all over the world, everybody believes and the teacher are telling that to the student, you have to be a professional architect, and for that you have to work first in an office. For me, this is the wrong way to do it. For me, they will not be professional architect, because we don't know who this young architect will be in the future, how they will behave and how they will build their own way of living. And as I started to say once before, that in family, I'm not sure that architects as we know today will stay the same in the future. Because if you think about the fact that algorithms and artificial intelligence could design and build and can design and shape a project, you will be just a designer of the facade. It was still existing in States, but it will be more existing in Europe today, in the future, because it's still some companies doing that today. And so if this is that, being an architect, for me, this is not. So this is why the opportunity for the young people, the one who are leaving from the school, they have to invent. This is their job, to invent themselves and to invent the future. And I always say that first you have to dream. When you are a student, you have to dream. And so your teachers have to let you dreaming about every project that you want, the most fantastic project that you want, the more efficient project that you want, the more whatever. You have to dream. And you have to have role model or to look at the architects in the past who were dreaming, especially the one from the 60s, 70s, all this avant-garde, etc. They were dreaming. And some of them never built, it doesn't matter. So, and today, everybody, there are not so many people dreaming in the reality. And after that, after having dreamed, you have to invent, because this is the best way to invent. And you search and you invent, and you create, and you find solutions that were not thought before. So this is, for me, the only way for the young architect, and this is for the young students, and at the end, they will invent the 21st century themselves. This is their duty. You know, my generation, because I was born in the mid of the 20th century, we were pushing the transformation of the world, because after the 60s, the 70s, we were pushing the transformation. And it has stopped after the falling of the wall in Berlin, and after the Cold War, and after the 9/11 and all of that, it has failed. And now we are in the 21st century, and this is a new century, and we have to, and it's running very fast with the communication, with the artificial intelligence and all of that, and they have to deal with that and to invent, and to be able to be creative with that. And this is not my job, this is their job. And they have a fantastic opportunity to invent a century, to create a century. I'm jealous of that.
Do you think globalization makes it more difficult to really change things?
I think that this is relative. Mm. Because there is globalization and not. Mm-hmm. Because there are two different movements at the same time, globalization and localization. What Paul Virilio said, called local at this time, a long time ago. So that means that you look at the local and you look at the global. So you find your way in that. So I don't think that, for me, there is no devil somewhere. You know, there's, globalization is not a devil. Localization is not a devil. Global warming is not a devil. This is conditions that we have to deal with, and we have to invent with that.
Is it like a hour zero? Or I mean, in Germany, when I talk to architects, it's the mood is like we really have to change now our behavior. It's time to. We cannot go on like
this. I start that every morning. No, this is, yes, okay, this is good. This is, I'm glad for them that they started to think like that, because I think that it has to be done like that every day of your life. So for me, this is not new to think like that. What I don't like in the sentence that you said just before is because I feel that it's a bit moral. And I don't like this moral vision about the world. Because if you have moral vision, you are not far from religion, you are not far from somebody who is telling you what to do and what not to do. And for me, this is not free. So you have to do that by yourself.
So, okay, let's talk about the moral side of architecture. I mean, climate change is really a big theme, and it is important.
It's one of the conditions that we have to face we have to deal with.
Yes, absolutely.
But, okay, so that means that we have technical means to technical tools to deal with, and we have to do that working in the building, in the construction, in the cities. And we have to invent new way of living, no, new way of behaving with that. But
you don't think it will change architecture that much?
You know, I'm quite older than you. And after the crisis in the middle of the 70s, people in France have invented in the 80s some new regulation about our building, that you have to invent more insulation, you have to close more the facade, you have to do little holes as a window. So, and after some years, they discovered that there were not enough light in the flats, etc. So every time we invent something which seems to be the solution, but there is no one solution. There are different ways of doing it. And no, for me, we have to change, yes, but we were changing before, already in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, after the transformation of the world, and after. So every decade have changed something.
Yeah, okay. And there is a responsibility. I mean, we are not allowed anymore to make garbage, for example. The cradle-to-cradle principles, do you know about that? This the material shouldn't be connected, so we can disconnect them when we have to throw it away.
Yes, when you demolish something, you have to separate the different things, etc., yes.
Yeah. But I think it's not done very well up to now. Yeah, never,
and
but we should do.
Especially in Paris, where everybody says, we know that they ask us to do that, but when at the end it's in the same place, and mix together, why to do it?
Yeah. In Germany, the debate is really intense, so maybe it changes.
Everywhere intense, you know about that. But it's a question of, okay, we have to recycle the paper, we have to recycle the plastic, we have to recycle the textile. But it has been done a bit. It has to be done more intensively. And we have to think how to do it. But why to beat with this garbage also?
I don't know how it is here in France. In Germany, we talk about a lot of building with wood. And so
we have the same problem in France, the same trend.
Yeah.
We are destroying the forest everywhere in Europe now.
Yeah.
Because we kill the trees everywhere.
Yeah.
To build in wood.
And, I mean, there's no wood to buy at the
not
moment.
Anymore, yes.
Yeah. But it's not because there is no wood, but everybody in all over the world, the wood is needed and it's ordered already.
So this is a bit stupid. So every time somebody is addicting a kind of a dictate to the world, you discover the consequences later on. So the consequences today, the wood is very expensive. There are no wood anymore, in Europe especially, because they have this. Our trees are sent to China and States, and we don't build it with that anymore. We can't. And this is the same for the steel. I saw that you read something about that. But why to dictate, and especially in Paris, our mayor said, we have to build in wood. Okay, so now we have wood everywhere, but why wood? Before it was concrete, now it's wood. and the big companies are developing them now in wooden construction. But we are destroying the forest. We are destroying the nature. We are destroying the trees. And we will have global warming more.
I'm not sure if building with wood increases the temperature.
No, because nobody did this calculation. But I'm sure that there will have consequences if we increase so much the wooden construction. Because at the beginning, we were searching the trees in Finland, in the northern Nordic countries. So we have to transport them. So we have to. Yeah. So in terms of carbon tax, is carbon result is not so good. But now we have more forest growing in France, but it has a certain quantity of time to make them growing. And we have the forest in the east and the forest in the center, but not enough, so we have to find wood everywhere. And you are doing the same. Maybe in Belgium, in Holland, in Austria, they are doing the same. So if everybody is working with wood, where will we find the wood anymore?
I mean, I think so too. It's not enough wood to build only with wood.
Absolutely.
So, but I mean, we have the concrete buildings, and they just shouldn't be taken apart. I mean, they should be
we
built.
We can recycle them, yes.
Yeah. Not only recycle, but to leave them as they are.
We can change them. We can make them evolving, yes, sure.
And do you think nowadays we have to involve more instead of building new? This is also in Germany the debate.
We have the same with our green dictators in the cities. They said that no new building anymore. We have to recycle the old building. And why not? But it has a limit in terms of time, this system, this way of thinking. Because at one point we will discover that there are not any more buildings to recycle and we have to build new buildings. So.
Yeah, if they cannot be saved, they have to go.
To be demolished, yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But we have to build like they were for 100 years. Like in the 1900, the houses were out of stone and so.
No, we will not build in stone anymore. This is too costly.
Yeah, but I mean, the houses will be very old. They are very old and they will stand for ages.
Okay, so you will come back to the cavern at the end?
Yeah, maybe.
Why? And there is a beast skin on your body?
No, I don't want that. But I just, I'm curious. No, I mean, maybe there's...
I try to push always this kind of statement to the extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To understand what
it's
doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, okay, no, I'm not against the fact that we have to recycle. At the moment, I'm working on an old building that we pull apart one third of it and we recycle the other part. And we are doing a new building with that, in a way, a new building. But, okay, it's not a problem for me. I always, when I was working on the macro, it was an extension of a former building and reusing some facade that I had to keep. So why not? This is normal for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's some condition in some particular place, you have to keep that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
but that doesn't mean that we have to build new. Mm-hmm. We can also build new.
Yeah.
But not in stone, please. It's too costly.
The 3D printers in Germany are also very popular or
yes,
becoming
yes,
popular.
I believe in that. Yeah.
And this is very modern. It's not building with stone. It's modern way and a new way of building.
So you make the powder of the stone and you build the stone with a 3D printer?
Oh.
Everything is possible with a 3D printing now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and so they invent materials that are good for the environment. They try to. It's not only like plastic
recycle,
or whatever.
Yeah. They try.
Yeah. Really?
No, I believe in that because, you know, I have a project in Madagascar for poor people. And with the client, we are thinking about doing 3D printing for that. But I'm not sure that we will succeed, but we will try.
Yeah.
With the ground, with the earth, with some material.
I'm concerned that the experiments can get lost when we just have to think, oh, it's really bad for the climate. But I think there must be a solution. Okay for the climate and really avant-garde.
But not everybody can do that. This is the problem. But when you think of what was happening before, the same architecture was repeating everywhere. Even Haussmann repeated the building everywhere in Paris, you know, with all the architects at the time. So there are not so many differences between some details on the facade, etc. So we are used to have repeating architecture everywhere. But at the same time, there were some we were different. And the ones who were different were very interesting to look at. So this is why we have to make new way of building and to let the possibility or the space for some to be free. But it's not easy, because that means to change the regulation, to open a little bit the regulation, to not give to everybody the same possibility, which is impossible in France because of equality. I don't know in Germany, but I'm sure this is the same. So you have to be all at the same level of possibility and freedom. So this is a bit middle level in a way. But you have to give the possibility for some to be different. And for that, education is important. That means in school of architecture, you have to let, there are some teachers, because sometimes this is not all the teachers, this is some of the teachers who are really able to deal with that, with differences.
Yeah.
Because they are human, you know, we are all human, so humans are looking at all the others.
Yeah. But we need the ones who are different.
Yeah,
from
we need
the,
that.
Yeah. You said that you don't have the mentor, but friends. I really was impressed by that sentence that you say, no mentor. So it's like you are so strong.
I'm not strong at all. I was not strong when I was young. I was frightened by everything. I was really thinking that maybe I'm wrong. I have to look at that and what I'm doing. But I was attracted by people, by some people. And Peter Cook was one of them. Claude Parent was another one. So all these people from the 60s were really attracting me, because they had this freedom of thinking differently, thinking freely, drawing buildings that were not built and doesn't matter. But they were really free thinker. And this is why they were attracting me. And when I discovered, when I was young, that they were still living, I'm managing them to meet them and to discuss with them and became friends, because I was very attracted by them. This is what is for me kind of, it's not a mentor, it's somebody that show you that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
What I said, I want to come back to something when you were talking to me about global warming, about this question of the ecology, about the trash, about the everything. I never liked from my childhood to be trapped in a system. So for me, if a system is imposed to me, I try to find my way to get out or to turn around or to deal with and going further. So this is really what is myself. And this is why when I'm doing architecture, I try always to find my way to contorn the difficulties, to go somewhere else and to continue to go ahead. I think this is really important. But this is my character also.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, but the... but the climate change, you cannot get away from this. I mean, anyway.
No, but what that means? That means that in some part of the globe, we will be warmer. Somewhere we will have the water going up and raising some countries or some part of countries. We will have some other part colder, and we have to invent or to find new way of dealing with that, and. So this is not, for me, the end of the world.
Yep, it's sometimes...
Even if the GIEC said that in 50s we will maybe have 1 meter and a half above, and we will have 2 degrees more, too much. It's like, yes, sure. And when you go to during the summer, now or last summer, this summer, to the south of France, it's really too warm, and people are going more north for holidays. Okay, so you will change your habits and you will behave differently and you will wear differently and you will find a way to do something different. But at the same time, you have to try to act yourself to not increase the system. But you can act only on little things and step by little step you do it and you help. You bring your peace to that. But... you will not change by yourself or all the system. It's not possible.
It's a strong discussion at the moment. And if you listen to the radio, there are always the newspaper. It's bad news.
Your most discussion is not about the COVID in Germany. Because in France, it's always COVID.
No, it's always COVID and then climate change and the moment Afghanistan. Okay. Yeah. So, it's really climate change.
Yes, because climate change is a fact. And because of this climate, we have to adapt ourselves. But this is not the end of the world. I can't believe that is because I trust in human. And because I trust in human, I'm sure that human will survive. And I'm sure that human will find solution for themselves. And as an architect, I can try to build or to deal with my project with better conditions. But it is why what I said before, this is you can do little steps by yourself, but you can't change everything yourself. So you just add a little stone on the pavement, and especially because we are in these rich, privileged countries.
Yeah. When you said Madagascar, I thought about the people starving there. Yeah. And in Germany, we don't hear anything about it anymore since in Afghanistan the crisis started. Mm-hmm. It's always like one theme. There's only room for one theme. And yeah. I think, what's going on in Madagascar now?
It's not so easy to live in some places, yes.
Yeah.
There are poor people, there are people who have not enough to eat every day, and they are... But my client, who tried to give back to his country something that he got, asked me to develop an area for building houses for low-class people. So I will do it.
Yeah.
Because I find this is my duty also. And I'm glad to do it.
So this is something you are going to do in the future, in the near future.
I'm doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But at the same time, he asked me to do a little art center. So this is nice, because culture and dealing with poor people is nice.
Yeah. The art center is somewhere else.
It's in the city. And the place for the houses are a little bit on the side of the city.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you anyway.
And at the same time, I'm doing a tower for very rich people in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So this is very high class rich people and low class in Madagascar. So.
Yeah, you live in these worlds,
yes.
Worlds anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you move there mm-hmm. like it's normal. And Absolutely. It is, yeah.
It is normal.
Yeah, it is normal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then let's give me your last question. What is your dream as an architect? What are you dreaming about?
It's strange because a lot of people ask me that. What do you want to do? What do you want? I don't know. It depends on what is coming to me. Because I can come back to my very, very, very beginning when I decided to my father that I want to become an architect. He invited at home an architect who asked me why do you want to become an architect, and I said because I want to build a theater. I don't know why I did the theater, but it was a theater. I never built a theater, and I don't care to build a theater today. Maybe I will do it once, why not? I don't know, I don't remember why it was a dream for me, but in the meantime, from that sentence to today, I never thought what will be the next project, what would be my dream. My dream is to do the project that I didn't do before. And this is a subject that I didn't study before. So a new way of behaving, a new way of thinking and producing architecture.
Odile Deck, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It was a very good conversation.
Thank you for coming and to visit me.